Happy New Year, friends. It's us, the gang at the We Like Theme Parks podcast, and it is New Year's. We're celebrating with you, with each other. Happy New Year's, guys.
Why, it's...
Nothing? No?
It, Happy New Year's, it's back. It's Y2K, right?
No, I think, I think we dodged that bullet.
Are we okay?
This is the millennium.
This is the millennium?
Yeah.
That is pretty good.
I like Will. I get jiggy.
I still, to this very day, when I'm DJing on New Year's, play Willennium at midnight. I play Will 2K every
midnight.
That was
midnight. A really good album.
Does that drive anybody nuts?
No, I think people either don't get it that I've done it, or people find it funny. It's one of the two.
I think it's funny.
It's because it's a good song, so it's not like I'm playing like an annoying song.
Go. Another year,
yeah.
Something numb. The Willennium. Oh, it's preposterous, that song. Hey guys, it's New Year's. We just wanted to get together and celebrate together for you, for us, for theme parks around the world, but mostly Disney ones. And celebrate.
I was about to say, you know, we only talk about Disney and Universal Parks. We don't talk about any other theme parks.
Because, how many other theme parks are there that are actually theme parks?
Tons. There's tons.
What do you think? SeaWorld? Lego?
Sure, but there's like Europa. There's like a bunch in Europe. Yeah. There's a bunch in China. There's a bunch all over Asia. Japan's got a bunch.
Well, we should do a segment on
like
those
Hello
ones.
Kitty. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bunch.
Okay, we can do a segment on those. Why don't you do a segment on those, Mark? All your favorite ones.
Yeah. Or maybe I'll just go and...
That's right. You can do a trip
never report. Come back.
Aww.
I'll just live in Europa.
Europa!
I think I heard that song by the Prozac.
The Prozac.
That's a song? Europa by Prozac?
Europa by Prozac.
Yeah, I don't know.
They also have Diaz, cool. And they have... What is it?
The blue, is that the blue song? I'm a blue.
No, that's Eiffel 65, dude.
I don't know my electronica.
It was like what, late 90s?
I don't know. Yeah, I was not hip.
It was Aqua.
I like Aqua. Dr. Jones. Yeah. Is it Indiana Jones we're talking about? Wake up now.
I don't know.
They're Swedish, right? They're awesome. Or Norwegian?
They are Swedish. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. We're Norwegian.
They're pretty great.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's New Year's. We're together.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibes that you got during the holiday season when we did Christmas.
Did we get to do the dogs?
Eve. No, it's not Christmas. It's New Year's. That's why we had... That's why I'm like, Dustin, you got to put Auld Lang Syne in the thing.
And I did.
Why are you turning it up? So you're gonna press those barking dogs, aren't you?
I'm not going to push the barking dog. The barking dogs.
This is not the way to start the New Year. You guys fighting about these barking dogs.
I'm sorry.
It's funny because when we first started the barking dogs, everybody hated it. And by the end, it was like, let's play the barking dogs.
It is true.
It's catchy, right?
It is. It's awesome.
So, Dustin, what do you want to do today? It's New Year's. We're all here. Maybe we'll cruise through some. I don't know. You tell me what's going on.
Well, one of the nice things about New Year's is that you get to look back on the year that we just finished and then look ahead. And the theme parks, they're constantly changing. There are new things opening and closing each and every single year. And I think that 2019 was a very big year for the Disney company as well as for Universal. So I think that it'd be fun to kind of go through and give our, you know, best, worst, thumbs up, thumbs down to some of the bigger announcements and the things that actually opened.
Let's talk about 2019. Is that okay? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah.
Sweet. All right, so let's start out with the big one. There's nothing bigger, in my opinion, than Lightning McQueen's Racing Academy. Right? That's the biggest thing that's ever hit Hollywood Studios.
That's the big one.
Yeah.
I've heard so many people be disappointed with that ride. They're just like, first of all, it's hard to find, apparently.
It's right beside Rock and Roller Coaster. It's a black box. Like, it's basically
not really
just
a ride. Right?
No, it's an attraction. It's a show.
But it feels more like one of those, remember like the Incredibles dance party?
Sure.
That it's kind of got that vibe with an animatronic Lightning McQueen spinning on like a pedestal.
And you know what? Kids really enjoy it.
That's not a terrible thing that I just described.
No.
I think maybe people think it's something else or something more and they're a little bit disappointed.
Compared to what could have been, by way of, you know, us getting Cars Land. That was on the table before Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was announced.
Well,
so.
I guess if you've been to Radiator Springs, then you go to this thing, you're like, what is this? You know? Yeah, I get it. But they just needed something for that space.
They needed capacity while Star Wars was being built. And we still need capacity.
Stuff. It still needs stuff. Like, even when Minnie and Mickey's Runaway gets online.
Yeah, and we'll be talking about that as well a little bit later on in the show.
I think it's a positive thing, me personally. Because you may not like what this is now, but I feel like that space is easy to convert. And they're opening the door for more Imagineers to come up with something creative for that space. So the challenge is there for them. So it's like, like you said, it's a black box, right?
Yeah.
And if the people at home don't know what a black box theater is, it's literally a black box. You can configure the seats however you want. You can put them on both sides. You can put them on one side. You can put,
not even have seats.
Not even have seats if you want. And then you put the stage wherever you want as well. You can hang it above the audience if you want.
I like to sit down.
Sure, sure. For Chris,
air conditioning,
we'll
by the way, in this thing, is awesome.
I went to a show once in a black box theater and they had a paper ceiling and the actors were all on bungees to start the show.
Cool.
So they started poking holes through the ceiling. That's how the show started. They were poking holes through the ceiling.
Kind of like Kerplunk?
And they were pulling, away bits of the paper. And that's how the show started. Most of the show happened above you and then they'd bring in these platforms.
Wow.
So like, that's the kind of stuff that that they could be doing in this space. And
as long as they do something.
I think they're going for, this is the first shot, right? So, first shot, they made it like a car show. I've seen the YouTube video.
Yeah.
I haven't lined up for it and gone in myself, but I saw the YouTube video.
Well, I went in and I turned around.
Yeah, it was fine.
In my opinion, it is a thumbs down.
Sure.
Because of the potential of that space, but I understand it. So that was a big one. The other thing that came out was Wonderful World of Animation, which debuted at Hollywood Studios. It's the fireworks.
I love fireworks. Yeah. It's great. New fireworks is always cool.
All fine and
dandy. The technology keeps getting better. They're doing cooler things.
Now, speaking of fireworks, though, we lost Illuminations, and we gained Epcot Forever.
But that's temporary, right?
So it is.
It feels like a temp show.
It is.
It does not have, but it's still not bad. Considering it was a temp show, I was like, this is all right. Is it Illuminations? No, it is not.
But I think Illuminations needed to go in order to build this next version of Epcot.
Yeah.
So
I agree with
Epcot
that.
Epcot Forever.
Take a break. They'll bring it back in 20 years.
Now they brought out two other fireworks show. So we had the Not So Spooky Spectacular, which replaced Hello Wishes over during the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. And then for the holiday party, they brought out Minnie's Wonderful Christmas Time Fireworks. So what do you guys think? You know, they got rid of Hello Wishes. They got rid of the holiday wishes. Does it change the bar for you or was it just more fireworks?
That's the same. It's a lateral. To me, it's a lateral move.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I'd agree with that.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That's part of this experience. There's a lot of things that are Disney and Universal bring out that may not fly for everyone. The next one is a great example. Over at Disney Springs, the NBA experience opened. What do you think about that, Chris?
Yeah. Man. Man, I don't want to.
As a big fan of basketball.
Yeah.
I mean, I also like basketball, but I think you are
I love hoops.
Season ticket holder.
I am a season ticket holder. And it looks disappointing. And I mean, look, I haven't done it myself.
Are you going to?
I think
you are going down very soon.
Yeah, I'll be there very soon. I think I probably won't on what I've seen and people that I'm very close to having gone.
I wanted a picture of you with that mannequin.
I'm really interested in the draft one, but you don't get to wear it. You don't get that. I would have to bring my own hat.
BYOH,
you know? I'm not that keen on shooting around, and I don't. All of it just didn't do a lot for me.
Because you'd basically just go by yourself. I'm assuming that the wife and kids wouldn't go.
That's right. I would go by myself. I'd probably just go on
$30
one of our Disney Springs days and maybe, hey, you guys go ahead and head back for whatever and I'll stay here and do this for.
Now, I haven't been inside, but do you have to pay to even just get inside or can you?
I think you have to pay to do the stuff.
Yeah,
right.
So
you
like
could just
Disney
walk
Express.
Around.
I think I could get into the store.
The store is there.
And isn't there a restaurant too?
Restaurant will be opening in 2020.
Yeah.
I know. So
wait,
NBA
there's not
experience,
even a restaurant there yet?
They're building it.
Oh my goodness.
It's gonna be ESPN Zone all over again. Touchdown Burger.
Actually, ESPN Zone
Hat-trick
at
fries.
I hope the NBA experience has a touchdown burger.
That is really
full court pressed sandwich.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
There you go.
That's not bad. Off the top of your head? That's
yeah,
very
man,
good.
That was a pull. Yeah, thanks, man.
Well done.
Improv.
Yeah.
Second City.
Second City treated you well.
Blah, blah.
On top of NBA experience, right across the way, Haleo opened.
Haleo Sandwich Shop. I've never eaten there. Have you? Has anybody?
No. We stopped in. We grabbed photos. Three.
But we talked to Amanda Barker, who had a sandwich there, and she said it was pretty good.
Yeah.
She said it was good.
The more new restaurants and new experiences that go on at Disney Springs, the better. And, you know, we are looking at a 2019 where a lot more stuff came to other parks. And a lot of the stuff that they had at Disney Springs was already open.
Right.
They had already done a lot of reopenings and reimagining. So that worked out. But speaking of things that opened, let's just jump through the list. So we had the Mickey's 90th celebration, his birthday.
Woohoo.
They did the Move It, Shake It, Mouse Could Dance It. They also...
Catchy title for a song.
Yep.
Mouse Could Dance It?
Mouse
that
could
happened.
Dance it.
Yeah. It took over the Move It, Shake It, Celebrate It, which actually has one of the best and catchiest soundtracks.
Nice.
It's a good time.
Also written by Todrick Hall?
No, this was a Miley Cyrus.
Okay.
The other things that came out, let's see here, just going through the list. We talked about NBA experience, talked about some fireworks.
Is 2019.
The Grandestino Tower opened at Coronado Springs, and the Disney's Riviera Resort both opened.
Two new hotels. I probably will go to neither of them. And the reason is, I don't mean it in a crappy way.
No.
If you remember, one of the presents that I got from Bob Iger was to give us more themed.
Yeah.
Themed hotels and value hotels. I think it was more themed than
more
value.
Themed, absolutely.
I want themed. I love the Polynesian. I love Port Orleans. I love the Caribbean Beach. I want themed. I realize Star Wars is coming. But these Grandestinos and the Riviera, they feel like hotels for conferences. And
well,
I realize there's a need for that.
Absolutely.
So like I said, they're probably hotels I'm never going to go to.
Yeah. Makes sense.
But there's a need.
I'm going to find a conference to send you to. Send you to one of these conferences.
Mark, I'm at the Grandestino. It's really nice. Glad you sent me here.
Yeah.
This conference is terrible.
Hey, free food.
Food is terrible.
Those open up. I think there's a place for them. But and just know that there's a lot of opportunities to get there, especially over to the Coronado Springs because of the Skyliner, which also opened in 2019.
Skyliner was huge. What a boon for the Disney parks.
Yep.
A fantastic transportation system that it's just a little more magic. You know, people have been complaining about the buses and they're not perfect, but they're fine. But now you have another way to get around. There's some things, there's some concerns. And I think we saw it in full view when there was.
I was on it. I got to see everything that happened with it. And you can tell how there are elements of that transportation system that they just have to work out. And it's going to happen. There's going to be ups and downs.
It's going to happen. But I'm staying at the Caribbean Beach. And one of the reasons why I booked it, Skyliner. I'm moderate with the Skyliner. Got a good deal.
Yep.
The Caribbean Beach has been renovated with their eating area and all the new restaurants, Sebastian's Bistro. And with that, coupled with the Skyliner, pumped. Really excited about it.
Absolutely.
Mark, any Skyliner thoughts?
I mean, people have been critical about it. I think that just like anything, like any ride, any transportation system, anything is going to have, it's going to be buggy at the beginning.
Yeah,
sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Disney Plus came out and they obviously sunk millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars into this thing. And for the first, I mean, it's still a bit buggy, not in a detrimental way.
You're spoiling the very next thing that we're talking about. Oh, Disney Plus came out.
Yeah.
Disney Plus, so
seamless transition into it. There are things that are buggy. Like I had to reboot my Apple TV to get the update because like clearly something was wrong.
I can't even use it on the PS3 stopped supporting anything new.
Right.
So we can't actually, we have Netflix, we have...
Get a PS4, for goodness sakes.
When are they going to discontinue that?
Well, when they come out with a PS5 after 10 years of a PS5. What are you talking about? When's
stream
the PS3?
It off your phone, man. Just throw it from your phone to the thing.
Well,
can you do that?
I'll ask for your assistance when we're off.
Just get off the air. Get a Chromecast and just throw it to your TV. It's $40.
Now,
I just fixed all your problems.
Now,
you're welcome for $40. So yeah, Disney Plus came out.
Fixed all your problems.
Just fixed all your problems. Disney Plus came out. I like it. I'm happy so far. I feel like there is more content lying underneath the surface. You get to that front page and they don't show you everything on the front page, but there's just so much other stuff, but you have to go digging to find it because you don't know it's there.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I was like pleasantly surprised when I saw some of the older, especially like some of the classic stuff. And I like the classic stuff.
Proud Family's coming on in January.
This is so exciting.
Yeah. It's very cool.
But they're doing what we hoped that they were going to do,
which
is every couple of months, they'll bring out new stuff as Netflix did.
Yeah.
the thing that I'm hoping that they're going to do, that Netflix, you know, don't take stuff away. Don't make it so it's an exclusive because it is your content.
But the thing, exactly, that's the point, right? Like Netflix didn't have a choice necessarily.
No, they have, it's all contract.
Yeah, so once their contract is up, they can either pony up and pay for it to go longer, yeah, or they can be like, well, we're done with this. Yeah.
How do you guys feel about The Mandalorian? I know we all like the show, but what was it? The season ended, it was 8 episodes, yeah, each, mm-hmm, a half an hour long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not a mountain of content. It's like 4 hours.
Oh. I like it. You know, people, this is the other thing. I'm one of the outliers here, but I'm glad that the episodes were only half an hour to 45 minutes.
But then give me 16 of them.
Oh, sure, but I don't need things to be, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need things to be an hour and a half every single time I turn it on. Why does everything have to be so long?
It just felt like we were dipping our toe in the pool, and we're so...
I loved it.
This thing was touted as the next Game of Thrones.
Sure.
And Game of Thrones was like an hour long, and it was, yeah, a whole bunch of them, every, like 12 also, of them every year.
Game of Thrones was also agonizingly long. And it was daunting to, if you weren't on Game of Thrones from the beginning and you let a couple of seasons go, well, forget it. You're not going to climb on Game of Thrones now because you've got hours and hours and hours. Whereas if you didn't see the first season of Mandalorian and suddenly season 2 comes out and you're like, you know what? I want to go back and watch that. Yeah, it's not a forever. It's not, yeah, a forever commitment. You could do it in a couple of nights if you wanted to be cool about it.
I say go back and binge all the Game of Thrones. Do
I've
it.
Never seen a single episode of Game of Thrones.
Wow, you're missing out.
But
you're
now, fine. Now we've you're got fine. Disney Plus.
I've watched the whole thing 3 times.
Yeah, so Disney Plus was a big step for the Disney company. I'm still interested to see where they're going to bring things like One Day in Disney, The Imagineering Story.
That comes, what do you mean when they're going to do? Well, One Day in Disney is coming out. Another one's coming out in January,
yeah,
as well.
And the more that they keep bringing will be very exciting.
I think they've got more surprises coming. Absolutely. Because they've got, like I said, the big one for me personally that I'm waiting for is the big Muppet drop.
Absolutely.
When are they doing that? Because they have all the shows.
Yeah.
So when is that happening?
Yeah.
Like that's the one I'm waiting for.
And Fillmore. Obviously.
And Fillmore. Fillmore is a big one that
I'm just waiting
for
them to do the live action version of Fillmore. I'm shocked that they haven't done it yet.
I'm surprised they didn't have Fillmore on day one, but I mean, that's just because I love Fillmore.
Yeah.
You know, but they have Recess, which is, I guess, more popular. But I think Fillmore is going to be one of those like hidden releases, kind of like, well, they're leading January with Proud Family, right?
Yeah.
Like that's sort of the picture that they're putting out there. But I don't know if Fillmore is going to be, you know, if it comes out in February or March, I don't know that that's the picture they're going to launch with.
Now, speaking of headliners, we should probably talk about the biggest thing that happened at Walt Disney World. Galaxy's Edge, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opened up at Disney's Hollywood Studios in
Dustin,
2 phases.
You're the only guy that was there. Tell us what you think.
So the issue was that they opened it in 2 phases. You had everyone go and be like, hey, this is an incredible land, but it's Smuggler's Run. And then everyone started to talk about, oh, there's too much shopping. There's not enough experiences. Yeah. And the droids were $200. The lightsabers were $200. They didn't have any of those elements that they promised us.
Yeah, I think it was 2 things. I think when they opened up with 1 attraction and not 2, they kind of touted the merchandising shopping experiences as kind of like pseudo attractions.
Yes.
And that is not going to go over well with people.
The issue that we saw with Star Wars was that, yes, absolutely. When you're making those walks around the land, you're seeing the details. You're seeing the immersiveness. Awesome. 17 acres. Amazing. But there wasn't really anything to capture the regular guest's imagination. And I think, honestly, there's just too much stuff that you had to buy to experience. You couldn't just go and get into Savvy's workshop because you had to go online and reserve it so many times out. And honestly, if you were going to spend $200 on a lightsaber, how would you deal with that on TSA? You can't get it home. So there is a lot of misinformation in the beginning. And then to have Rise of the Resistance come out and kind of hiccup, which the experience looks amazing, but if you can't get into it and you have, you know, all of these boarding groups coming in, and we've talked about it at nauseam about the idea that the boarding group has to be set in stone literally as soon as you walk in the gates. You're not going to get into that that ride. And that's the ride they've been touting. That is the most technologically advanced ride out there.
This thing is a blockbuster, and everybody who's been on it is losing their minds. Look at the stock price of Disney's rocketed up. You know what I mean? Like,
we've all been talking about it for like the longest time.
Since D23, right?
It's supposed to be the most advanced thing ever.
Yeah.
And then they delivered. They delivered. Now, it's hard to get on it, and not everybody gets on it, and I'm hoping that's something that gets sorted out, but the capacity on it is low.
Yeah. But it was so tricky. It was also hard to get on the Harry Potter ride when it first opened.
Sure.
And the Hagrid's ride. Mm-hmm. And every blockbuster ride, when Indiana Jones opened, it was hard to get on Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like,
but I think the issue was that they went to a virtual queue in a park where they already have FastPass. So if you were to have one or the other, like Disneyland doesn't have FastPass. They need virtual queue.
But I feel like the reason why they made the virtual queue is to really underline that experience, the realism of that experience. Because when you just walk on, you walk on.
Yeah.
Is there going to be problems?
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I think that is the intention, and it's mostly paying off and mostly happening. And that's why they're creating this unique way to get people in. And, you know, I think it's amazing. The problem with that is that not everybody's getting on.
Yeah.
And as someone who's got tickets in like the next month, and I'm going to go, and I'm planning on that one day going, boy, will I be disappointed if I don't get on that ride. But I'm going to do everything I can. I'm going to go really early. I'm going to make sure I'm knowledgeable about how I get on. And we're going to do it. We're going to hit it hard. And, you know.
Do you think the way they're handling this is worse than when Pandora opened and there was a lineup out the front door? Do you remember when there was a lineup through the entire park to even get into Pandora? I'm going to say no.
I think the ride capacity is different on that ride. I think it takes more people.
But I'm talking about the Flight of Passage? Yeah. For sure. But what I'm saying is people lining up, standing in a line all day to get into Pandora. They're just standing in a line all through Animal Kingdom, all the way to the front gate, right? Is that better or worse than you being able to get into Galaxy's Edge and walk around and maybe or maybe not ride Rise of the Resistance?
Well, the difference is it's a much clearer experience. Either you're going to get in that 3-hour line, you know exactly how long you're going to wait, and you know the fast passes are going to go through, and then it's just standby. It felt like there was a much better chance. At least if I went at rope drop and waited in line for 3 hours, I know I'm getting on the ride.
Yep.
As opposed to, you might not get on just because. And at 8 a.m. or 8:30 a.m., a sign comes up saying no more boarding groups.
Oops. Yeah.
That's different. That just feels different. It's one thing when it's like, boy, I got to line up forever.
Yeah.
Same thing happening for Hagrid's. How long did you wait in that line?
Yeah, it was
insanity.
It was 2.5 hours.
It was a 12-hour wait when it first opened, apparently.
That's insanity too. But they got on.
Yeah. But the thing.
Or at least if they weren't. Hours. I know. It's insane. Yeah. And maybe that's what they're trying to do. It's like, hey, you can wait 12 hours or we can just tell you you're not going on. But if I'm buying a ticket and I want to get on it and you tell me it's going to be 5 hours, I want to have that choice to go, oh, I really want to go on. I guess I'll bite the bullet and wait for 5 hours.
Yep.
This is, you get there when the park's open and they go, yeah, sorry, you can't get on that ride.
All day.
All day. You know, and I don't know, there's something wrong with that.
Yeah.
Is this something they should have anticipated? Maybe. Should there have been more?
But they have FastPass. And I think that's the issue that keeps coming up. And it's something that came up during, you know, this entire last year. And we have so many other things that I want to get to. And I think what we should end with is knowing that we are going to be talking about Star Wars a lot.
Yeah.
And one of the things on this list was talking about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, because you have the pros and the cons and you have different mentalities that go into this segment. When I was there in November, it was a catch-22 of how things were going to be held. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see what you're going to see down there, knowing that you're going to be there first thing in the morning and going with your family. I can't wait to see what Mark would do when you get down there, because you've been wanting to go to this since day one.
Since before it opened, yeah. I was going to go on day one until I realized that it was in phases, and then I decided not to. But then I've just been bogged down. I haven't been able to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't even have a weekend. So.
Yeah.
All right. So we all like this thing. We all hope to get on it. What else happened in 2019?
We talked about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
We talked about it a lot. The time. Everybody did. This is true.
So that was a big one. And I think, you know, that was the best of the best for Disney World. I think we can all agree that Star Wars Galaxy's Edge was the pinnacle of the Disney culture that came out in 2019.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
over at Universal, what do you think? Oh, Hagrid's came out.
Hagrid's, yeah.
Universal's Surfside Inn and Suites.
I still think that's opened cool. their first one. I still think that's big. They're saying they're drawing a line in the sand, man. Come stay over here. Spend your money over here. It's cheaper.
Jurassic World The Ride opened up in Hollywood, which was cool. Doing the revamp of Jurassic River Adventure, turning it into Jurassic World.
Meh, is what I say. Like,
yeah, you didn't like it. I thought it looked good.
I didn't hate it, but...
we had some rewrites.
Some logic problems.
Yeah. It would have been nice if they could have done a little bit more.
Yeah.
It's still the same ride with some pluses.
And honestly, I was diving really deep on this. The Today Show Cafe opened.
Hey.
And the last...
That is the big story of 2019.
The Today Show Cafe.
The big... And the other thing that I found was they announced Universal's Epic Universe.
I love Universal's Epic Universe.
Well, when you look at the difference,
Peacock Live to announce this bad boy.
Yeah, when you look at the difference of what Disney did versus Universal did this last year.
Yeah, when you kind of sit and talk through it, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's night and day.
It is pretty night and day. It's a different audience.
It's one and two, though.
Maybe they're just, I mean, I got. Here's what I'll say about Universal.
Sure.
When they swing, they make big swings.
Sure.
They've made some little swings, and their swings are understated. They're very understated swings. Oh yeah, there's this Velocicoaster coming.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't tell you about it. You've been seeing it for a year, mm-hmm. a year and a half.
Yeah.
But here you go. Oh yeah, yeah, we're Hagrid's. Yeah, that's happening. And apparently Hagrid's is amazing.
Yeah.
I haven't been on it. You were on it.
It was great.
There you go.
It was not well thought out by way of their line system.
Yeah.
And we've talked about that.
Yeah, yeah,
And it's not getting any better.
But listen, when they popped out these Harry Potter lands and Hagrid, or sorry, not Hagrid's, but
Diagon Alley.
Diagon Alley, Gringotts. Oh, next level stuff.
Still next, having so many issues though.
Still so good. It's great.
The thing that is different between Universal and Disney is that Universal swings and misses more often because they're only swinging once or twice a year. And the best example for that is, what are they bringing out in 2020? It's the Bourne Stuntacular. That is the only thing that they've announced that is actually opening.
Well, though, I would think that the Velocicoaster will be
2021.
Is it that far
2021.
Away? 2021. Wow, they've got so much of that done. It looks up anyway. Yeah, I guess we'll have to see. Wait and see. That's the thing about Universal.
Yep.
They tell you nothing, and then stuff just gets built.
Yep.
But yeah, a little underwhelming, but I think maybe they're going to ride this wave of excitement for Epic Universe, building a whole new park, and building it now. Like, when was the last time Disney built a brand new park?
That is a very good question, and I could make the argument that they have already rebuilt Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
Like, they've added... big sections. They've added new Fantasyland with Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and everything I think that Disney hasn't chosen that path of having to build another park.
Yeah.
They have just been taking sections of their theme parks and reimagining them.
Yeah, right? They're rebuilding what they have.
Which is great.
It's just a different approach.
It's a different approach.
It's a different approach, yeah.
I'm just asking. We're talking thematically. Each park is different,
yep, right? 100%.
So when was the last time they made a new park? 01?
I would say that I would say
Shanghai. Kingdom? Shanghai Disney.
I'm talking about North American stateside. Yeah.
I would argue that Hollywood Studios is a new park.
And California Adventure.
Right.
They are they spent $3 billion redoing California Adventure.
California Adventure is great. And the money they put into it was well thought, and it saved the park.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just not as exciting as creating a new park with completely new IPs and completely new concepts.
But what happens if they're not? What happens?
Well, we don't know yet, right? That's the thing.
Because if they bring out Super Mario Land and Nintendo World.
Universal
for Epic Universe, they've already built those projects in Beijing and in
it's opening in Japan.
Hollywood.
Osaka. Yeah.
Or sorry, you're right. In
opening
Japan.
In Osaka in the spring.
And they're building it already in Hollywood. So if they're just bringing other properties that they've already created, well, then it's less about starting from scratch and more about...
That'll be one nugget in their whole thing, their whole array. I think there's going to be a lot more.
I would really argue, though, that Hollywood Studios, they didn't shut it down and build a new park. They just rebuilt the park. Like, what remains of Hollywood Studios from when they opened?
It's a great
Tower of Terror is the Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster are kind of the, that and, section. And
I don't think either of them were original.
No, they're not original, but they're the sort of the classics, quote unquote.
Yeah, fair.
Yep. They're what holds it together. Even the Great Movie Ride's gone. Everything's gone, which was the
Muppets
is still around, but like, let's be honest, for how much longer? Yep.
I'm sad to say. I'm just saying, yeah, they fixed it and they had to because they were outdated and they didn't work. And quite frankly, Universal set that bar up real high and Disney had to do something.
With Harry Potter,
right? Yeah. So they were like, great, they scrambled with Avatar.
I really think
Avatar was a hit, but it didn't resonate the way Harry Potter did.
No.
So
it
they
was
had,
always, but that's always, that was always kind of the funny thing about
it was.
Pandora, right? Was that like,
why
are you doing this?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, and if you'd seen the movie, you knew that it was going to be beautiful.
Yeah.
But that didn't change.
It was Fern Gully, right? Like it was just, that's all it was. Fern Gully mixed in with Pocahontas.
Yeah. Like what? Why would you choose to do that? And then you find out there were supposed to be movies that never got made characters in the parks that are not in, you know what I mean? Like, what? What's going on here?
And one of the things that came up just going on theme parks that have kind of reinvented themselves, when the Beverly Hills Boulangerie closed at Universal Studios Florida, it left only three opening day experiences: E.T., the horror makeup show, and Animal Actors. Those are the only three opening day experiences that are still there.
Save I didn't realize E.T. was opening day.
So it's interesting looking at what 2019 did. And one of the things that I, just talking about the things that closed, Illuminations closed.
Bye.
Leave a Legacy, Club Cool, Interventions, Fountain of Nations, Fountain View Starbucks. All that stuff is gone.
Nobody cares about the Starbucks.
I do. Bongos at Disney Springs is
Bongo
gone.
Bongo!
They actually opened in 97.
Wow.
They have been there for more than 20 years.
People love Gloria sandwiches.
Esteban. Liberty Inn at American Adventure closed. The Misner's Lounge at the Grand Floridian Resort closed. The Tomorrowland entrance sign switched out. And I think the biggest thing that happened this last year was that Universal stopped making themed butter. Did you guys see this? That Universal at their table service restaurants, by the way,
themed
there's two,
butter.
Mythos and Lombards, when you would show up and they bring out bread, they had butter that had the Universal logo on it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they stopped that.
They stopped that.
Costume Mouchement.
Yeah, I wonder if we can find the butter presses on eBay.
That would be so awesome.
Press that butter.
I want to go to Mythos, order just bread,
and
then complain about my themeless butter.
Send it back.
I'm sorry. Is this a brick? What? How is this inspired by the Greeks?
So looking,
I'm sorry.
Looking forward into 2020.
Did Poseidon touch these bricks? Why are these little tridents that I can lay delicately on top of my bread?
Just looking into 2020, some really big things that are coming out. We have obviously all the movies coming into World Showcase, the Regal Eagle Smokehouse, Space 220, Remy's Ratatouille Adventure coming out in summer 2020.
Yes.
Which includes the French Creperie, which is going to be overseen by the Chef Jérôme Barcousse, who oversees Monseigneur Paul and Chefs de France.
Oh,
they're redoing the World Showcase Adventure, bringing DuckTales. Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway open March 4th. The new barbecue restaurant coming into Toy Story Land.
Barbecue.
Drawn to Life, which is the new Cirque du Soleil show.
Oh, cool.
Previews start March 20th, premiering
April
17th.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't like Cirque du Soleil.
We talked about it.
I'm just taking a stance for humor. I don't really care one way or the other.
About all right, all
right. Harmonious is opening up at Epcot, so that'll be a good option. And then just simple things like Spaceship Earth is going under a huge 2-year overhaul.
Finally.
And everything is changing for the 50th anniversary for 2021. So that's big in Disney World. Disneyland, they get a new Magic Happens parade in 2020.
Magic
spring.
Happens, they say it, and they shug their shoulders.
That's
Magic Happens.
That's Larry Todrick David. Hall one.
Larry David does Disney, yeah.
Avengers Campus Phase 1 is opening.
This is going to be cool.
Spider-Man ride.
Spider-Man and the Pym Technology Restaurant.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Is Phase 1 also going to have the Sanctum? Doctor Strange's Sanctum? Is that also part of that?
That'll be so cool, though.
Yeah, I wonder what that's going to be. If that sit down show, like, because that's where Bug's Life is.
Yeah, it's a lot of space they can play with.
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to do. Yeah. Those like sparky things, sparky circles,
3D show.
That would be so cool.
Sparky circles.
Yeah.
With an animatronic.
Do they keep Hopper?
yeah, Hopper's the same, but now he's voiced by Benedict Cumberbatch.
I like it.
Over in Shanghai, Zootopia is
very
showing up. So it's the 8th themed land. It's the first Zootopia attraction in any Disney park around the world.
That
so
movie
be cool.
killed in Asia. It yeah. killed, made killed, so much money.
Killed worldwide.
But the yeah. most in Asia, like destroyed in yeah. Asia. That's why they're like, bring it here, please.
Yeah. Hong Kong Disneyland in 2020 is getting the first ever Frozen themed land.
Let it go.
So that'll be cool. Two rides will open, Wandering Oak and Sliding Sleighs, as well as a Frozen Ever After version of the currently situated experience at Norway. Which I still find really funny.
Wait, they're just doing another Frozen Ever
After? They're just doing... They're taking Maelstrom...
Oh, my God.
...and rebuilding it.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
They're going to actually do Maelstrom, though. They're going to put the animatronics of Maelstrom in, and they're going to immediately close it and tear it out and make it Frozen.
You know, we made this joke about Flight of the Hippogriff.
Yeah.
Where they had it only at the one park at Islands of Adventure, and when they moved Harry Potter Land over to Hollywood, they had to bring that experience over there because it's a Harry Potter thing. It's like, no, it's a reskinned experience.
So I'm gonna throw something out there,
I could be wrong.
Okay,
but if Frozen, you could argue is one of the top five IPs Disney has. Top three? Would you?
Even
I think it's number one, isn't it?
Well,
like
when
Star
you
Wars
bring in
is probably number one.
When you
it?
Bring in
oh,
Star
okay.
Wars,
oh, I didn't realize you're talking about all, including Marvel.
Like, I think
Marvel
it's like,
and Fox.
Right.
It's probably at least top five.
Yeah, I think it's top. It's like way up there.
Definitely top three.
So you would want to put some cool, really unique rides in there.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Wandering Oaken thing is kind of like Luigi's tires, or not the tires, Luigi's dancing cars.
So it's a brand new roller coaster.
Oh, it's
yeah,
a coaster.
I thought it was going to be like
at a replica of Oaken's Trading Post.
I thought it was going to
be well,
closer to the Snow White. Why am I blanking here? Somebody filled this.
Scary Adventure?
No.
Oh,
the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah.
Thank you. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. That's why I couldn't.
No,
get
I think that's
started
what
it
is.
Wrong.
I thought I heard that it was like, because if it was like that, like Luigi's cars and you're getting
or alien swirling saucers
aliens,
and a
Maelstrom. It's like, right. Come on, that's your Frozen land.
Yeah. You know what
Brutal.
I am excited about is the Mary Poppins attraction in Epcot
that nobody
the
knows
more,
what it is.
More and more details I keep hearing about are like, wait a minute, that's going to be cooler and cooler. Every little thing that gets leaked or rumored, I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm always worried that with rumors and leaks, you're getting the test of like
to see
how will this
think.
Actually come out. Like the fact that Universal's Epic Universe wasn't the original name.
Right.
So on top of that, we've got a new castle that's going into Hong Kong, which won't summon the magic of just one animated classic, but will actually bring 13 movies together, including Belle's Rose and Snow White's Apple. So that's going to be a thing where they're actually building it to be projection mapped, which is so cool. It's the first time that they're building this castle to be
with,
like
with that in mind.
With
that's
that in mind.
Cool. Smart.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, with the architecture all being like mapped surfaces.
Yep.
Yeah,
for every yeah,
and it's going to be a new
and just
Bibbidi
more
Bobbidi
surface,
boutique.
Like more.
Yeah, so they're purposely.
That'll be awesome. And then over in Disneyland Paris, Hotel New York Avengers Campus is opening over there, and
Hotel New York.
Yep, I did want to just kind of jump through things that are coming out. So 2021 with Tron and Reflections, a lakeside, Disney Lakeside Lodge, and Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser Resort, Guardians of the Galaxy, Cosmic Rewind, The Cove, which is the third property that's going to be joining the Swan and Dolphin, and the Play Pavilion is opening early 2021, maybe 2020.
Ooh.
The reason why I bring those up is because the difference between that and Universal, night and day, Universal's Endless Summer Resort, the second, the Dockside Inn and Suites is opening May 1st, 2020. The Bourne Stuntacular, the Velocicoaster, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have a couple big things. So Universal Beijing Resort is opening in 2021, Epic Universe in 2023. And there's still talk about Universal Studios South Korea and Universal Studios Moscow. Those projects aren't dead. So there's a lot of things that are coming out with in addition to mm-hmm. Super Nintendo World. So for 2019, 2020, it's pretty cool to look at the things that are coming and the things that, you know, we saw this last year. What do you guys think? What was the biggest thing that happened for you guys this last year?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing, obviously, nobody's going to be able to say anything other than Star Wars, right? Like, that's just, yeah, well, it just overwhelmed all the news, all the everythings. But looking forward, I mean, the stuff going on in Japan, I think, is very exciting. The fact that they're leading Super Nintendo World over there, Nintendo World, whatever, over there. I'm super looking forward to that. Everything's going to be open in time for the Olympics, right?
So, oh, yeah. It's got to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest thing that happened this last year was we started our podcast.
Was that just this year?
That was just that this was last this year. Past year.
It feels longer, doesn't it?
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it was big. That was big. Almost as big as Star Wars.
Almost.
Yeah.
Different marketing budget.
Yeah.
Same passion.
I'm just trying to think it's so hard because there really isn't anything that comes close to Star Wars.
Yeah. Hagrid's, unfortunately, yeah. Hagrid's was a great experience. It's not Star Wars.
But I think that mirrors the parks, though, right? Like,
sure.
Everybody talks about, like, Universal being number two. Mm-hmm. But when you really look at the numbers, it's such a distant number two. It's like people talk about it and it's like, oh, they're kept, like, Harry Potter was a big deal. And it was, and it's awesome. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the difference between, like, if Disney's 100, Universal's like a 22. You know what I mean? Like,
you know what's really interesting? I'm going to throw this out there. So I visited some friends the other day.
Sure.
Like, actually yesterday. Mm-hmm. And there are some good friends of ours who also have kids. Their kids are older. Like, they're, you know, one's just got into high school. The other one's like grade six.
Yeah.
And they're big Disney heads too. And they go like every other year. Every year they do something. It's either Disney or they're going to like buy a pool, you know? Like, that's the family thing. It's like, we're going to buy a big ticket item or go to Disney. What do you want?
That's a nice, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually every other year they go to Disney.
Yeah.
And
how many pools do they have?
Yeah, they don't have a hot tub yet. That should be this summer. Anyway, they're actually going this summer. But we were over there and we were talking about their trip and we were talking about our trip and we were kind of, you know, talking about each other's, you know, schedules and plans.
Do they listen to the pod?
They do. It's our my good friend Rich Kranjak.
I know Rich.
Yeah.
Nice. Hi, Rich. Yeah, yeah.
So Rich is a great dude. And so he has these kids and I was like, how long do you guys go over there for? And he's always like, we go over there for like a week or 10 days and they do like 7 or 8 park days. They do a lot of park days.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So they're always doing hopping. So they want to just be like as fluid as possible. Like, hey, you want to go now? You want to? Great. Whatever. You want to just go for dinner and go to the parks? Great. They want to keep it easy breezy.
Sure. I'm a fan.
And I'm great. It's great. Because I mean, once you pay for 5 days, 8 days is nothing. It's like, you know what? Another $50, $60 bucks.
Yeah.
Forget it. Why not? And I'm like, well, why don't you just go for 5 and then go to Universal for 2 or 3 days?
Did they laugh at you?
And the two kids, the two girls were like, I don't want to go to Universal Studios.
Really?
Like, yeah. Are you insane?
That is the opposite of the reaction I thought you were going to say.
Yeah. I was like, Harry Potter.
Simpsons.
Like, no, I don't like roller coasters or Harry Potter. And I was like, you really? Like, there's so much to do there. So many different things. So many, they're like, no. But
that's the thing, right? Like, ultimately, I'm painting with a wide brush here, but if people are going to Florida to go on one of these vacations and they're going to Disney World, they may or may not go to Universal Studios. What is the percentage of people going to Florida and only going to Universal Studios and not going to Disneyland? That has got to be a tiny amount.
It's probably
compared to the people who go to Disney World and do not go to Universal. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I always thought that everybody just did both.
No,
but stayed on Disney property.
Right.
I assumed that.
Well, but for 7 days you spend at Disney World, you spend 2 days at, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or 5 days and 2 days.
So even as someone who's a big fan of The Simpsons and everything, and like for the longest time, my Facebook profile photo was me with a keychain that said Bort on it. Mm-hmm. Like, I am their audience. We still would only spend a day, maybe a day and a half. And that's a long day and a half over at that park. And it's because you are in the magic, which means you are comparing apples to apples by way of going from Disney to Universal and then back to Disney. And everything is so evident from the lack of photo pass to the distinct, you know, differences from dining and the attraction, you know, the cast members versus team members, training, everything like that. When you're down there, you're seeing how different that is. And I think that, when you brought it up that it was, you know, a number one, number two, there's a reason why Disney's number one. And I don't think that that gap is getting any smaller. I don't think
it's getting any smaller either. Yeah. I think more people are interested in like Disney may lose a day here and there. You know what I mean? But they're not going to, it's never, I don't think it's ever going to be a situation where people are going to Universal and not Disney. I think that they're just always going to be scrapping really hard for number two.
Yeah. Is there a park that you would rather go to at Disney versus Universal? Like, would you rather go to Islands of Adventure, or let's just even put it, would you rather go to the Universal Orlando Resort on a park hopper versus a day at Epcot?
I would.
Right now, yes.
A day at Epcot?
But it's construction time. As soon as everything's done.
Even before, I'd rather go.
Frozen, Soarin', Test Track?
Meh, I'd go to the Islands over that for sure.
Really? Yep. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What about Hollywood Studios?
No.
Okay, so Hollywood Studios is the thing, and Animal Kingdom is also the thing.
Well, now, I mean, now no way with Star Wars.
Yeah, so there is a lot of things that came out in 2019. I'm really looking forward to what's going to happen with us.
Yeah.
Going into 2020, lots of Instagram things, lots of,
sure.
You know, we're going daily, right? That's what.
are either of you guys interested in going to like SeaWorld or anything at all?
Yeah, I go.
Yeah. Because they've got all that new Sesame Street stuff.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
I feel like your kids would be down with that. I'd spend an afternoon over there.
I would. It's just so easy to stay. Like that's how they do it. They create a space where they get you in and they just hold you in there.
It's the bubble.
You know, it's the bubble. So it'd be cool. You know, I'm going for 10 days. Maybe one of those days we can pop out and do a SeaWorld. But I just think when you have kids, they just need a little bit of downtime to hit the reset button. So I don't know.
But that's the thing, right? Like you're going to go to SeaWorld and like.
You're going to see animals.
You're gonna, you know, and then like, you're going to go and then you're like, okay,
Sesame Street.
You've already paid to be at Disney. So
yeah.
That's the thing, right?
Yeah, I have. Yep. It's true.
I'll take the bullet next time I go.
How was it? Is that it? Did we cover everything?
Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, I think it's time for us to wrap this up and say goodnight and goodbye. And
Happy New Year.
This Happy New Year, guys. Yeah. I'm looking forward to a prosperous and fun-filled 2020 with you gentlemen. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys out there in podcast land, listening, sharing, and just participating and being a part of this community. We do adore you, and we're all passionate about the same stuff. It's Disney and Universal, parks and other things. So wishing you all a Happy New Year, you guys?
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You said it pretty well.
I said it pretty well?
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, not only did we want to extend our wishes to you, but some friends of the podcast wanted to extend some wishes as well. So as we sign off, we're going to have a couple of our friends from the We Like Theme Parks family bid you adieu and wish you a Happy New Year. And here it goes.
Hey, everybody. This is Sean from Theme Park Alchemy wishing you all a happy and joyous new year from all of us over here at Theme Park Alchemy. We're looking forward to conjuring up some great memories in 2020.
Hi, this is Marco Timpano from the Insomnia Project and Eat and Drink, wishing everyone from We Like Theme Parks a happy, healthy, and fun ride in 2020.
Hi there, it's Trevor Martin. I wanted everybody to know that whether you're in love with Disney World or you're in love with people who are in love with Disney World, I want you to have a happy holiday and a happy new year.
Hey, everybody at the We Like Theme Parks podcast. This is Amanda Barker, your Disney Springs expert, wishing all of you a very happy holiday and an amazing new year.
Hi, everyone at We Like Theme Park podcast. I'm Chris Bond's wife, wishing everyone a happy new year and 新年快乐 2020.
Hi, everyone. This is Jill wishing the Pod Squad and everyone out there at the We Like Theme Parks podcast a happy new year and a wonderful 2020.
Marty Adams here, just wishing all my pals at the We Like Theme Parks podcast and their amazing listeners a very happy boo year. You see what I did? It's a ghost pun. I worked half a day on that. No lie.